17th chapter, I invite you to lean into the discomfort of the gospel and let it find you where you are on your journey today. Listen for the word of our God. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through a region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Get up, go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, Jesus. He can be so frustrating. And I think that this is one of those times. Everything is set up so beautifully in this story. But then Jesus doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Maybe the disciples were surprised all the time by what he said and did, but we've read all the stories. We know the rest of the story to every story. You know how it goes. Someone needs help. Jesus helps them. And then he says something profound. We learn how to treat other people by modeling whatever it was that Jesus did and said, done. Our story this morning is set up just right for the formula to be followed. If Luke was looking for the perfect characters to demonstrate how loving and compassionate Jesus was, he nailed it. Lepers had it pretty bad. Rules for lepers are spelled out clearly in Leviticus. The one who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his lip and cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone in a habitation outside of the camp. Lepers were pushed to the outskirts, isolated, sequestered, barred from living with their families, prohibited from interacting too closely or without the permission of those who were healthy, prevented from joining the religious community in worship with the implication that God would not touch them either. Our lepers this morning played by those rules. Good little lepers, you might say. They knew how far back to stay and what to say. "Jesus, Master," they called out, "have mercy on us." They stood at the appropriate distance and gave the appropriate warning. Jesus would have been familiar with this routine. And we are familiar with the routine that should have followed. They have asked for healing. Jesus should give it and say a few words about faith. Bada bing, bada bing, bada boom. We're done. This is how it should go, just like clockwork. So Jesus sees the lepers and knows just how much mercy they need. But then he messes it up. Instead of bopping them on the forehead with instant healing, he tells them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." What, Jesus? This is not what you are supposed to do. Jesus is supposed to be a hugger. up until now, when Jesus has been confronted face to face with a person in need of healing, he just does it right then. Boom, you're healed. This happened so many times that Jesus had a reputation. He even had experience curing leprosy, and I'm willing to bet that these lepers had heard of it. They weren't worried about being guinea pigs. No experimental healings today. Jesus knew what he was doing. In chapter 5, Luke tells us of a different leper healed by Jesus. And in that story, the text says that Jesus reached out and touched him before sending him off to the priest. That's the Jesus we know. Nice Jesus, the guy who rebuked cranky adults and welcomed smiling kids to sit in his lap. Loving Jesus, the one who used touch to heal so often that Luke describes people crowding around Jesus, trying desperately to touch him because power came out of him. We hear about this healing touch in the other Gospels, like the one written by Mark. In that Gospel, Jesus goes on a spitting spree, using his own saliva to restore sight to a blind man and hearing to a deaf man. With the deaf man, Jesus touched the guy's tongue, which is really gross, and tells us that Jesus did not sit through boundary training classes. Despite the public health issues, that is the touchy, feely Jesus we know and love. But not this time. Jesus kept his distance. No spit, no hand reached out, no talk of faith, just the command to go and see a priest. So they did, without a word, perhaps because they knew that there was only one reason why they would need to see the priest. These soon-to-be former lepers would need certification of healing to be officially invited back into society. The priest would declare them clean or unclean, part of the community or not, restored or rejected, in or out. Go and see the priest implies that healing was granted. So they turned and walked, and as they went, their skin began to change, and with every step, they began to believe that this was real, that they would be able to live in town with their family and friends again, that they would be able to speak to anyone, that they would go to temple and worship like everyone else. So they kept walking to go and see the priest. Good little lepers. Except for one, the one we call the 10th leper. When he saw that he was healed, he was overcome and turned back. Can you imagine running like a crazy person, shouting with joy, hands raised, waving wildly with excitement all the way back to Jesus, where he fell on his face, not caring who saw, and offered lavish, life-affirming praise to God and thanksgiving to Jesus, who had somehow brought God to those who had been declared unfit for encounters with the holy. And now it is Jesus' turn. It takes him a minute to gather himself, I think, because surely he is trying to figure out how to kindly tell this man to get up and move on, to follow directions, stop making a spectacle. Jesus did, in fact, tell all of them to go and show themselves to the priest. The other 9 do what they are told. It is this one leper who is disobeying Jesus' clear command and doing so loudly, flamboyantly even, making people uncomfortable with his display of God love and Jesus thanking. Don't make it awkward, we want Jesus to say. But Jesus does it again. When Jesus finally finds his tongue, Instead of addressing the man laying prostrate on the ground in front of him, he starts in on the other nine. We're not 10 made clean, but the other nine, where are they? Oh, Jesus, don't say that. Please don't ask, where are the nine? We know. They are at the temple. They are following the rules, doing what they are supposed to do. Where are the nine? We know where they are. They are here with us. We go to church. We bring old coats to clothing drives and creamed corn to the food pantry. We give our tithe. We read our Bibles and we say our prayers at night. We are sure to mention that we are the United Church of Christ, not that other Church of Christ. We shake our heads at Washington. Someone should do something to help the poor. We pay for a table of eight at charity banquets and send in a check big enough to pay for a family of five to eat Thanksgiving dinner at the homeless shelter. And all of that is okay. That is steady discipleship, Jesus. The kind that keeps the church running and good things happening. We know how to be good little disciples. So since we know where the nine are, Jesus, you should be talking to this leper about discipleship, about appropriate public displays of spiritual affection. A little less loud, a little more reverent. We don't want to be made to feel uncomfortable. He's making the other nine seem so ungrateful, and they're nice church folk, especially now that they are healed. But Jesus didn't say any of that to him. There are only words of affirmation for this leper in love with God. What is it like to be that tenth leper? What is it like to shout with joy, hands raised, waving wildly with excitement, offering lavish, life-affirming praise to God and thanks to Jesus, who teaches us that we are all fit for encounters with the holy? I am not sure I know what it is like to give without calculation, to stop in the middle of the fuss and the worry and recognize a gift from God, to be so thankful that I cannot help but shout to the heavens. Sometimes I am not sure I know what it is to be in love with God. After an entire story of not acting the way we think he will act, Jesus, of course, returns to the formula. Mostly, I think, because this is exactly what we don't want him to do. Jesus finishes the formula with a word about the man's faith. Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Eugene Peterson translates it, your faith has healed and saved you. The Greek word can be translated in any of these ways, healed, made well, saved. As the King James puts it, your faith has made you whole. It is clear that there is more at stake here than clear skin. Faith is more than discipleship. And this is what makes us shift in our padded pews. Where are the nine? Makes us wonder about that tenth leper. Where is the tenth? If only Jesus had simply patted the tenth on the head and told him to be on his way. But he had to ask. where are the nine? And now we must ask, where is the tenth? Where is the tenth? Amen.